You, Lord.
Bless and worship your
Blessed
name.
Be your name, Lord. We give you praise and glory.
What you are set to do again.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
You are going to bless us again.
Yes, Lord. We give you praise and
Father,
glory. We honor you, Lord. We magnify your name.
You because you
bless
you,
Lord. Blessed be your name. In
thank
Jesus'
you.
Name.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we are here today to learn of you, to learn how to war a good warfare. Every time with warfare, we war a good warfare. As children of God, as children of the man of war. You said we must war a good warfare. You said my people are only destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lord, we have come to learn knowledge. So that when we are fighting our battles, we will fight it with knowledge. And every time we will win. Because we have used the superior power and the superior weapons of the Most High God. Blessed be your name, Father.
Amen.
We appreciate you, Lord, and we love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we ask you that you cover us with your blood. That your blood covers this whole place, environment, and wherever our loved ones are. So that no counter arrow will come near us or locate us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We hide ourselves in the rock of ages. We hide ourselves in Christ, who is hidden in God. And we say, teach us, Lord. Arm us, O God. And let how to arm us and show us how to break every yoke in our lives and to teach others to do the same. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So today we are talking about the second strongman, second satanic strongman of darkness. Exposing and defeating the satanic strongmen of darkness, part 2. And today we are talking about the spirit of Jezebel. She's also called Ashtoreth, Madonna, Venus, Diana, depending on where you are talking about, where you are. In different nations, it's called in different nations, different societies. She has different names. Now, who is Jezebel? Who is Jezebel? It's a demonic strongman. And because it is a spirit, it's neither male nor female. So we should not think that it's always a woman. No. It operates both in men as well as in women. And it is the spirit behind all witchcraft operations. It is the spirit behind all witchcraft operations. We are going to define witchcraft in a moment. Now, the name of Queen Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, King Ahab, is used to identify this spirit because she personified it to perfection. It has not always been called Jezebel from the beginning of the Bible. It was when we got to Jezebel that subsequently this spirit is known as the spirit of Jezebel and other names. We're going to look at it in a minute. And in fact, it's in the book of Revelation that Jesus has himself called her Jezebel, called that spirit Jezebel. He said, I have a thing against you. You allow that woman Jezebel to teach in my church and seduce my servants to sexual immorality. Of course, Jezebel was no longer alive then. She's been dead hundreds of years before. So it's a spirit. And her domain is Babylon, spiritually. They talk about her as the virgin daughter of Babylon. Isaiah 45. Let's look at it. Her domain in the spirit is called Babylon. Now, of course, Babylon itself is no more. It's now called Iran or Iraq. I can't remember which of the two. But that spirit, in the spirit realm, Babylon still exists. Although Babylon has been judged and destroyed. So let's look at Isaiah 47:1. Where we see her being described as the daughter of Babylon.
Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no tree, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender
and delicate. Amen.
Amen.
So she's a queen, you know. That's why they say she sees herself being tender and delicate, and she sits on the throne. Now Isaiah 47 is the judgment against her. Say, come down, sit in the dust. We're going to look at that later. Now, as we always say, the devil likes to counterfeit God. Amen.
Amen.
The devil likes to counterfeit God. And this spirit is the one that counterfeits the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Likes to counterfeit the Holy Spirit. He seeks to copy the works of the Holy Spirit, especially in the gift of prophecy. And that's why she hates prophets. Now, Jezebel's version of prophecy is called divination. That's what they call divination. And there are other forms, all sorts of other forms that she uses to attempt at tapping into the truth. You know, she has all sorts of things that she has set up. And they are spoken of is still in that Isaiah 47 verse 13. They're spoken of, it is, they spoke of them in that same Isaiah 47 verse 13. Different ways that man has of tapping into the, trying to find out the future, trying to find out what is hidden, you know, instead of simply by the spirit of prophecy or by word of knowledge or word of knowledge and things like that, that God, or word of wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit's way of showing us what is hidden. But the devil's own that Jezebel is in charge of, they spoke of it in this, it's spoken of in this verse 14 of Isaiah 47. Yes, please read.
Thou art ruling in the multitude of the
council.
Let now the astrologer.
So she uses astrology, yes.
The stargazer.
Stargazing, yes.
The
monthly prognosticators. Now that is what they call horoscope. Alright? In the newspaper, you see it. In monthly magazines, you see it. This is what's going to happen to you this month. Somebody sits down and is telling you what's going to happen. Eh?
Stand up. And save thee from these things.
Yes.
That shall come upon thee.
Amen. So that is the, as I said, Isaiah 47 is one of the prophecies against this spirit. And they are telling her, oh yeah, all those things that you believe in, let us see how they are going to help you. The multitude of your wicked counsels and wisdom, worldly wisdom. Now, of course, her methods mostly fail woefully. They are never accurate. And that's the difference between divination and this the prophecies of God. You see, the prophets speak as the oracles of God. And he confirms their words. He confirms the word. The Bible says God confirms the words of his servants. Hallelujah. And therefore, a true prophecy from a true servant of God will always come to pass. Divination, we only see part of it. And then divination, we'll look at the difference between prophecy and divination in a minute. Because there's a great difference between them. So that you can know that this person is divining, it's not prophesying. This is not a prophet of God. Now, and therefore, she hates prophets. Let's look at what she did when she married Ahab. 1 Kings 18. She married Ahab. Of course, Jezebel is the daughter of Ethbaal, is the king of the Philistines. And Ahab was wrong to have married her, Because God told them they must not marry anybody that's not an Israelite. Just as he told us, we must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he told them, he said, don't marry from the Philistines. Don't marry from the Canaanites. Because why? They will draw your attention away from me. And that's what he did with, she did with Ahab. Let's see what she did. 1 Kings 18, read verses 4 and 13, please.
For it was so, when Jezebel got of the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by feet in a cave and fed them with the bread.
With bread and water. Verse 13 now.
Told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord, prophets by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water.
Okay, so Jezebel cut them off, he killed them, he killed as many as he could, but Obadiah was able to hide some of them in a cave, and was feeding them and kept them safe. Amen. Let's go to Revelations 18, and you read Revelations 18, and you read Isaiah 44 for us, please. 24 and 20 to 26. Open Isaiah 44. So Revelations 18. Revelations 18 is what we need from you. Revelations 18. Now, the book of Revelations 18 is also another judgment against Jezebel. If we read it from the beginning. Now, in verse 24, this is one of the accusation against her. This is one of the things that she's accused of. Revelation 18, 24.
And in her was found the blood of prophets.
Can you see?
And of saints. And of all that were, and of all that were slain upon the earth.
Amen. Now, look at that. Look at how they put prophets and saints separately from all that were slain in the earth. They put prophets first. That means if she wants to kill anybody, the first she's looking for are the prophets.
Yes.
Then the next lot she will look for are the saints. The saints are the children of God, born again Christians. Then if she can't find any of us to slay, she will then go and slay anybody. She's a very bloodthirsty spirit. Now, let's look at where they talked about God performing the revelation. Open Revelations 19 down. No, you read Isaiah. Let's have Isaiah 44, 24 to 26.
Thus said the Lord, thy remember.
Yes.
Thy redeemer.
Thy redeemer.
And he that formed thee from the womb.
Yes.
I am the Lord that maketh all things.
Yes.
As stretched forth the heavens.
Yes.
Alone. That spread abroad the earth by myself.
Yes. Nobody helped him.
That.
Yes.
Frustrated the
tokens of liars.
Tokens of the liars and maketh the
diviners mad. Okay, now put that. Let's wait a minute. So God himself will fight against diviners. That's what it means. He will frustrate their tokens. Everything they will say, hey, go and bring this, go and bring that, go and bring this, and I will use it to pray for you. God will frustrate it. God will frustrate it. Yes. And then he will make them mad. He's made them mad.
Turneth wise men backward. And make it their knowledge
foolish. So all those wise men that are astrologers, they are this, they are that, you know, God will turn them backward. He will make their knowledge foolish. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, go on. what
that confirmed
yes,
and perform the counsel of his messenger.
Yes,
that said to Jerusalem,
no,
shall be inhabited.
Okay, that's it. That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. You see, his servant, his messengers. Once you are his servant, and once you are his messenger, and he's the one that sent you, he will confirm your word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will confirm our word. But the diviners, he will frustrate them. It will frustrate them. Now, why must God always confirm the word of his servants and perform the counsel of his messengers? Revelations 19:10. Revelations 19:10.
And I fell at his feet.
Yes.
To worship him.
Okay, now that is John. And the angel that was showing him things. Yes.
And he said unto me,
yes,
see thou do it not.
So angels always refuse worship. We've talked about that before. We're still going to do a study on angels. Yes.
And their fellow servants.
Yes.
And of their brethren.
Yes.
That have the testimony of Jesus.
Yes.
Worship God.
Yes.
For the testimony of Jesus.
Spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy that God puts in us testifies that Jesus is a divine person, that he is deity, he is God, he's not man. Because a prophecy is the word of God, and the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen.
Amen.
So God must always confirm the word. Why? Because the word represents his son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And it testifies the testimony of Jesus Christ that he is God. He is that God spoken of in John 1:1. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Jezebel is an international strongman. That's a title. An international strong man. She's worshipped in all cultures all over the world. Because there's witchcraft all over the world in different forms and different ways. So she's an international strong man. And she's known by different names. Known by different names depending on the location where she is.
Known by different names.
She's known by different names and titles depending on the location in the whole world, in the world. Now Jezebel's worship is at the root of all false religions. All false religions. She's at the root of anything false in the world. Write it down. Is at the root, at the bottom of anything false, falsehood, seduction, lies. She's a psychophancy. She's at the bottom of it all. That's the spirit behind it. And she's usually depicted as a mother with a child or a mother with several children. Mother with several children. She is the moon and the star of the Ishmaelite religion. She is the moon and the star of the Ishmaelite religion. The Catholics call her Madonna in Italy. She is called Diana in Ephesus. Acts 19:28. We're not reading it. Acts 19:28. She is called Venus in Greek mythology. So the Greeks call her Venus. She's called Ashtoreth in the land of the Philistines, where Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, came from. Ashtoreth. 1 Kings 16:31, you see it there. From the last of the Philistines, where Jezebel came from, she was the wife, she was the daughter of the king of the Philistines called Ethbaal. She's called Isis in Egypt. Isis in Egypt. And she's called Ya or Yemoja in Yoruba land. And so on and so forth. Now, in scripture, let's look at what she's called. She's called different things in different ways, places. She has different titles. She's called Virgin Daughter of Babylon in Isaiah 47:1. We read that. Virgin Daughter of Babylon. She's also called in the same place, Isaiah 41:1. She's called the Daughter of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans is another, is a province in Babylon, or maybe another name for Babylon. She's called the Lady of Kingdoms in that same Isaiah 47:5, where God is judging her. The Lady of Kingdoms. That means she likes to rule over kingdoms. We'll see how she rules over kingdoms. Not just one kingdom. She wants to rule everywhere she is. In the house, she's the yoga, not the husband. In the church, she's the one. If she cannot be a pastor, she will be the one that is controlling the pastor with all sorts of prophecies and money and all sorts of things. Now she's called the well-favored harlot in Nahum 3:4. Well-favored harlot. In old-fashioned language, that is referring to her massive long breasts. When you see her in the dream, massive long breasts. They are usually more than two. They can be up to six in the number, and they'll be touching the ground. They'll be so long, they'll be touching the ground. That's how she manifests in the spirit. She's called the mistress of witchcrafts in Nahum 3:4. Nahum 3 is another place where her judgment is written. But I always, when I want to deal with her, I use the whole book of Nahum, and you just proclaim it in the night, and that spirit is in trouble. In the same Nahum 3, she's called the mistress of witchcrafts. Notice that witchcrafts, not just witchcraft, because there are different ways that she does her witchcraft. We're going to see it in a minute. In Revelation 17:1, she's called the Great Whore. The Great Whore, which of course means harlot. In the same Revelation 17, in verse 5, she's called Babylon the Great. So she herself takes over a whole nation. That's what it means. They are now calling Babylon by her. She's now the one called Babylon the Great. Whereas Babylon may have his own king, but she will be the one ruling. That's what they're saying. In that same Revelation 17:5, she is called the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You will see, she's in charge of many things, so abominable things that are now coming out in the world. She's in charge. Mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Wow, just one person. Now we can see that Jezebel is a rulership spirit, just like Baal. But she likes to rule, like the power behind the throne. We're going to see it in a minute. She's in charge of all the wickedness done in the earth, from witchcraft and false religions, which Babylon is noted for. She's in charge to pornography. She's in charge of pornography, prostitution, indecent dressing, all manner of harlotry, all manner of evil, seduction. She's in charge of it. As far as God is concerned, harlotry is idolatry. You see, it's idolatry because it is self-worship, self-gratification. You are just worshiping yourself. My body wants this thing, I must give it. It's called prostitution to God as well. It's harlotry. Now let's look at, because God is our husband, let's open Ezekiel 16. We're going to read while I'm making this explanation. Ezekiel 16. God is our first love, is our husband. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not expect us to worship any other God. As far as he's concerned, it is harlotry. Worshipping of another, idolatry is equal to harlotry, prostitution in the eyes of God. Let's look at what he said. There are two scriptures that talk about it. Pastor, please open Hosea 2 while Mama is reading Ezekiel 16, 14 and 15. Ezekiel 16 started with God talking about how he redeemed us when we were naked and bare and have been neglected by other gods and have been let down by all the our idolatrous, our ancestral gods, and everything has let us down. And then he cleaned us up and he covered us and dressed us up. And what happened? 14.
And they renowned
went, thy,
and thy renowned
yes.
went forth among the living
for thy beauty. So God put his beauty upon us, and everybody will see us. Oh, these Christians. Do you know that Christians are always beautiful? You won't find an ugly Christian. You won't find, if you look at them, the glory of God is always upon them, and they are just beautiful and just handsome. That glory is on us. And that's what the Lord is saying. Their renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. And that's why everybody wants to marry a Christian woman. Apart from the fact that she can pray, she will protect you, she will pray for you. Yes.
For it was perfect to my
comeliness,
which I had put upon
thee.
Upon thee, said the Lord God.
Can you see? Our beauty comes from the comeliness of God. Comeliness is beauty. It's another way of talking about beauty. Beauty, like they say, Jesus Christ, altogether beautiful, and he puts that beauty upon us. He puts that fragrance upon us. And when you now become a Christian and you now become, then everybody now sees you and, so what happened? Verse 15.
But thou didst trust in thy
own beauty. Yes.
And playest the harlot because of thy renown.
Yes.
And pourest out thy fornication on every one that passed by.
It was his.
It was.
So that beauty of God is very painful to God. If we now start prostituting it by love of money, love of material things, and that is what is in the world today. That's what is in the church, and that is why the church in Nigeria has no power. That's why the church has no power. Because you go to the church, you see women dressed, and you wonder, is this really a church? One day I saw women coming out of the church, and I saw some of the girls, and I say, are you telling me these ones, the way they are dressed, they are coming out of the church? And they will say, oh, God looks only at the heart. He doesn't look at, oh, really? God looks at the heart. But also, he told the priests how to dress in the tabernacle. In this church age, this dispensation, we are the priests.
Yes.
A royal priesthood. He told them how to dress. He told them, he said, you must wear linen breeches. You must wear this and that so that your nakedness be not seen. So that the transparency of your dress will not show your nakedness. He said, do not go up my steps. Do not build my altar on steps. So that when you are going up the steps, they will see your nakedness. So God does not expect us to wear things that will show our shape. Or that will expose your legs. It's there in the Bible. God cares about, like a loving father, he cares about our bodies. He said it is his temple. You do not expose the gates of a temple. It means that you want the thieves to come in and steal. You want the thieves to come in and steal. All those places that the women expose, which only their husband should see, are gates. They're gates to your reproductive gates. And you are opening them. They're opening their thighs. Their thighs is the way to your reproductive gate. And you leave it open. Nobody opens her gates unless you are asking for the thief to come in. I always tell them, I said, whatever you expose, whatever you display, is what you are selling. You only display what you are selling or what you want somebody to come and get. So you now find women dressed like that, and it's called lasciviousness. It's in the Bible. It's in Galatians 5. It's called lasciviousness. That means behaving and dressing and talking in a sexy way that will make the opposite sex to think of sex. You see? It will make the other person to think of sex. It's called lasciviousness. And the Bible says those that do those things will not enter heaven. Will not enter heaven. About 20 years ago, all this madness started with women dressing anyhow, so revealing and all that. And you see, the fashion designers in Paris, they asked one of them, they said, what is the theme? What is the focus? What is the purpose? You know, what is the aim behind your latest this thing? They said, oh, the aim is to inflame. Yes, that's the word the man used. He said to inflame. And that is why sexual immorality is all over the place, everywhere. It's everywhere. A woman was singing in a church. I entered and she was singing and all her bust line, the tops were exposed and it was bouncing in front of everybody. So I was just looking like this. Later I was in the pastor's house, office, pastor's wife's office, and they said, oh, let's introduce her to me. They wanted to introduce her to me, and I said, before you introduce her to me, I've always wanted to ask Christian women that expose their bust line, I've always wanted to ask them why. Please tell me. Oh, she lit into me. What do you mean? Is that what you came to look at in church? Did you come to look at my breasts? I said, okay, it's okay, I've seen it. I didn't know that you are wild as well. Her character came up, and you give such a woman the microphone to start the church, to start the service, all right? She was even in charge of the choir, to start the service. So to which God is she leading you to? No, tell us. To which God is she leading you? All these things are not ordinary. Her dressing was made to inflame. She doesn't know that the people that designed it originally from Paris, they want to inflame. There she is in a church, inflaming the men. And they saw nothing wrong with it. They saw nothing wrong with it. But one thing I thank God for is within a year, they said her dressing changed. Because that thing really pained her. But you see, many people did not talk because they know she will insult them. As she has insulted me, has it shown on my face? No. But a child of God has been removed like a brand from the fire. They said her dressing changed. She began to dress, you know, simply and decently, that everybody is even worried. Then everybody said, oh, so what Mommy Bumi said really hit home. Say, you have to talk to them. They don't know what they are doing. Jesus said it. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They do not know that there is a spirit behind what they're doing. It's a spirit of Jezebel. Let's look at Hosea 2. What does God say there? Hosea 2, 2 and 3.
Plead with your mother. Mm-hmm. Plead, for she is not my wife. Mm-hmm. Neither am I her husband.
Can you imagine God disowning a Christian woman? Of course, he's talking about Israel. But we're talking about our own contemporary now. That God will say, I am not your husband. Ah. Yes?
Let her therefore put away her wardrobes out of her sight, mm-hmm. and her daughters from between her breasts.
Yes.
Lest I strip her naked, mm-hmm. and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, mm-hmm. and set her like a dry land, mm-hmm. and slay her with
thirst. With thirst. People do not know that God will actually punish all these things. There is no way you can tell me that a woman that dresses like that is not into adultery or fornication. Then why are you dressed like that? The other thing they don't know is that they will attract the wrong men. A woman who exposes her body will attract the wrong men. It is self-worship. You are just worshiping your body. Yes, I can flaunt it. You are not supposed to worship yourself. You are supposed to worship God. The body becomes a God which must be pleased and pampered and do it, allowed to have anything it lusts after. It goes with sexual immorality. The body, those who go into sexual immorality, they are putting their bodies in danger. And the Bible says it. Because the Bible says, he who defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. And why it makes God so angry is because there is a spirit behind it. It is not just ordinary. There is a spirit behind it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 to 20. I'll just read it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. And that is because of what God said. What God said in 1 Corinthians 3:17, which God has already said. He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If your body is a temple, you keep it holy for God. Keep it holy. Part of keeping it holy for God is keeping it properly clothed and the gates shut. Don't expose the gates. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now another, Jezebel is the master deceiver. That's another title here. Jezebel is a master deceiver. Hey, she can deceive. Jezebel's whole operation is totally based on deception. Totally based on deception. There is no truth in her once. No truth in anything that she does. Everything this evil strong man does, it's geared towards deceiving her victims. Deceiving the victims. Even pretending to love you when she doesn't. And therefore she will flatter you. So flattery. Oh, see how you are. Nobody like you. It's called psychophancy. See how when it is used for to buy favor in high places, it's called sycophancy. When it's being used to buy love from a man or a woman, it's called flattery. Oh, see how you are. Nobody like you. So beautiful. Never seen an angel like you. Have you seen an angel before? But who told the angels are beautiful? They use sycophancy to buy favor in high places. And that's one of the greatest problems of Nigeria. They'll be lying to our leaders, lying to them. Carry on, sir. Carry on. All over Africa, sycophancy pervaded the society. And is one of the factors that make our leaders insensitive to the plight of the masses. You see, they are simply surrounded by sycophants who tell them, oh, of course you can make it. Carry on, my leader. Oh, carry on, sir. Don't mind them. Who are they? Are you not the ogre? There's none like you. It's just that they don't understand you. They don't appreciate you. Nobody can do it except you. Nobody. They say you are old. How? How? Do they want to be old? If they don't want to be old, then they can say you are old. You are missing the point. We are saying the man is old and tired and weak. We don't want another president to die in Aso Rock. And you are telling him, oh, it's okay, sir. You are carrying him up the podium. One is supporting him at the back like this. And you are telling us, he's 70 years old. My brother, I'm 74. That means I'm older than you. What is going on? You're untouchable. There's nothing. What can they do to you anyway? That's what they tell them. You are simply wonderful. You are great. They are just jealous. Or they will say, oh, they're religious bigots. They say we are religious bigots. They will call you all manner of names. There is a president somewhere. I think somewhere in Africa, or somewhere in one of these third world. He goes about in a wheelchair. So when he wanted to do some parade or something, they wheeled him there in a wheelchair. Then they stood him up and propped him up and held him here and there to stand for parade to pass. I don't understand. And they said he wants to do a sixth term or something. He's still going to take part in the next election. Yes. Because why? He's surrounded by sycophants. And why they love those kind of weak leaders is because looting will just be going on unabated under him. He cannot monitor anything. He cannot monitor anything. If they want to do, if ESCC want to tell us what was stolen under our Sikh president, we can't do the arithmetic between now and then. And they continue like that. So Jezebel likes to operate mostly in the rulership arena. He likes to put the power behind the throne. It is the power being used by the cabal, those they call the cabal. Every president has a cabal around him. He may not even know. Those who are shielding him from the pains of the people. Those who never want to tell him the truth. Because they are just chopping. They are just enjoying themselves and stealing as they want. Jezebel wants to be the power behind the throne. Exacting illegitimate influence. Illegitimate influence. We didn't vote for you, and yet you are the one that is ruling us by proxy. Now, there are three manifestations of witchcraft by which you recognize witchcraft. Don't forget, she called mistress of witchcraft. So these are the manifestations. Number one. Manipulation. She operates by manipulation. Manipulation means to trick somebody against his will into doing the will of another. To trick somebody against his will into doing the will of another. By a power that is not of the Holy Spirit. You are using trickery. By power that is not of the Holy Spirit. That is manipulation. Use trickery. And this thing is nice. So one day I bought some George material in the traffic. I folded it well and what's up? When we got home and opened it, it was only 2 yards. The rest of it was newspaper. That's a trick. Yes, that's a trick. And you see, why didn't I open it in the car? The way they would do, the way they would confuse you and all that. And then the car will move. And they will do it in such a way that, quick. That's a trick. All these people using trickery in buying and selling, they are all under the influence of Jezebel. They are all under the influence of Jezebel. All the pastors, prophets, and so-called ministers that use trick to get money from the congregation, they are using Jezebel's spirit. Use trick. If you bring so, who wants to sow, and then God will give you sevenfold. If you sow more, he will give you tenfold. If you sow more, he will give you 30-fold. It's a trick. It's Jezebel's spirit. God is not a merchant. It is Jezebel that is a merchant. She deals in merchandising. When we look at Revelation 18, we'll see it there. Number two, manifestation of Jezebel. When she tries to trick you and you don't fall for the trick, all right, she will go deeper. She will use intimidation. Intimidation means to frighten someone against his will to do the will of another by power that is not of the Holy Spirit. By power that is not of the Holy Spirit. When you frighten your congregation into doing something that's not in the Bible, like saying those who don't pay tithes will not go to heaven, you see, that is intimidation. Because it's not in the Bible that if you don't pay tithes, you won't go to heaven. It is on this earth that the person will not. You will reap it. If you don't pay your tithe on this earth, you will reap the result on this earth. Not in heaven. And of course, when you go to heaven, your reward will be reduced. Because it means your obedience was not complete on earth. So you don't frighten someone to do anything by the power that is not of God. Or by using something that is not in the Bible. Intimidation. All form of blackmail is intimidation. Hey, I have pictures of your nude pictures. If you don't send me so much money, I will upload it on YouTube. That's spirit of Jezebel. You frighten someone against his will to do something. Domination. Number three. When manipulation and intimidation fails, Jezebel will use domination. Will use domination. That means to force somebody against his will into doing the will of another. use force to make somebody to follow your own religion. You use force, you frighten them. Terrorism, all form of terrorism is just, you know, is part of forcing people against his will to do the will of another. Kidnapping and asking for money. You are frightening people. You are forcing them to part with their money. Jezebel operates in all these dimensions to ensure that she gains illegitimate control. That's what she wants. Illegitimate control. Controlling things and people you are not supposed to control. You find one Baba illiterate somewhere because he has access to TV and all that. Kings will be coming to bow to him. Governors will be. And yet he cannot even express himself in proper English. They will be going to look for him in any corner. And then he will tell you, go and do this, that. If you don't do it, olenyin. That means it has consequences. That's consequences. Forcing somebody to do the will of another by power that is not of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jezebel does not, if she does not succeed in intimidation, domination, and manipulation, she will turn around and just kill. She bloodthirsted demon. She kills demons. And God does not take him lightly. 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2. And she's very bold. She can threaten anybody. 1 Kings 19, let's look at it. Very bold, she can threaten anybody. She threatened Elijah. Let me read it. 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2. To show you that she's the one behind the throne. The Bible says, Ahab told Jezebel. That is after the Mount Carmel challenge. And the fire of God fell when he prayed. And he slew all the prophets of Baal. Imagine her husband, the whole king, went and told Jezebel all that happened, all that Elijah had done, and how, and withal how he has slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, Elijah, remember that in those days there are three people set up by God to administer the nation of Israel. That is the king, the prophet, and the priest. So it is God that put Elijah there. He didn't just put himself there. It's not like all these prophets online that are always prophesying all manner of things and trying to tell the government what to do. Israel was running a theocracy. That means God was their king. And therefore, he would send messages to them through his servants. So she has the boldness to threaten Elijah. When her husband became king, Elijah is supposed to be like an assistant to her husband. She threatened Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of those of them by tomorrow at this time. So I will make your life like the ones, the people that you killed by this time tomorrow. And the Bible told us what? Elijah fled. Because there's a power behind her words, and he knows. There's a time to flee and a time to stay. So another title of her, Jezebel is a merchant. I told you, she merchandises. Jezebel likes to deal in merchants. She likes to sell things. She sells things. She sells things. She sells things that should not even be sold. Eh? Things that are not for sale. She will merchandise it. She sells love. She sells homes. The Bible says she sells families and nations. It's in Nahum 3. She sells information. And she does this successfully by selling lies to her victims. By divination, by other forms. The spirit behind all this fake news online is the spirit of Jezebel. She sells divination and calls it prophecy. Let's look at Acts 16:16. And in Revelation 18, we're told that she sells all manner of things. We're going to look at it in a minute. She sells all manner of things, including slaves and the souls of men. So Jezebel was in charge. It's one of the spirits behind the slave trade.
And it came to pass.
Yes.
As we were praying, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much great gain by soothsaying.
By soothsaying. Soothsaying is the same as divination. Acts 16:16. Now, let's look at how she manifests in the different leadership positions. Let's see how she manifests in the different leadership positions. So Jezebel's manifestation in leadership arena. The first one is manifestation on the home front. Jezebel's manifestation in leadership arena. The first one is Jezebel's manifestation on the home front. Now, there's no need saying it that Jezebel is a home breaker. Jezebel is a home breaker. Jezebel is a home breaker. Let me see if I can pause it.